Chapter 4. As they crossed the town square, known as the Diamond, Tedric stopped to stare at the damage done by the Confederate Army 4 years earlier. Although rebuilding had begun almost immediately after the horrific event, the evidence of the fire was still visible at every turn. "Perhaps we should look somewhere else," Teddy suggested, feeling hopeless as the burned-out shells loomed out of the lengthening shadows.
"No, it was there, just there," Mary indicated with a wave of her hand. "Mr. Jessup was one of the nicer men who visited with Mama on occasion. He allowed us to shop in his store when others wouldn't."
That confused Teddy, and he cast a glance at the delicate girl next to him. "I don't understand. Why would a shopkeeper turn anyone away?"
"When the raiders came through the first time, Mama allowed some of them to sleep in our fields. I'm not sure what happened that night, but after that, my cousins came from Mechanicsburg to live with us. When we were hungry, Mama would visit Mr. Jessup in the back room, and he'd give us a little flour and salt pork to see us through until Papa's next pay packet arrived. But after those horrible soldiers left, other men started to visit our farm. They would bring food or coins, and my cousins would go with them to the hayloft. Some men, like the blacksmith, would take Mama into her room or the root cellar. Soon, we weren't welcome at church or school anymore, and the shopkeepers wouldn't allow us in their stores. Well, except for Mr. Jessup. He'll know where Mama and my sisters have gone. I'm sure of it," Mary concluded.
Paling more with each revelation, Teddy gulped back his anxiety and asked, "Where was your pa?"
"Off fighting," Mary sighed. "When he came home, he couldn't see anymore, so he couldn't make shoes, and Mama found other men, like your uncle, to care for my older sisters. Mr. Matthews came for Rosanna. He's a banker in Philadelphia. He gave Rosanna 2 sons, and he brought her gifts and chocolates whenever he would visit. Then Lucy was sent to Mr. Wilson. My oldest sister, Robin, was meant for your uncle, but she ran away, so Mama sent me."
Acid began to churn up Teddy's stomach, and bile crept up his throat. "Mary?"
"Hmm?"
Teddy stopped and held the girl still. Touching her chin, he turned her face toward him. "Do you understand what all this means, little Bluebell?" Releasing a melancholy sigh, Mary's shoulders popped up in a self-conscious shrug.
"I know the names the children whispered on the playground," she softly confessed. "But we were so hungry, Teddy. Mama said we had to do what was necessary if we wanted to survive. I didn't want to become a woman or let Mr. Oates do those hurtful things. But the babies and my little sisters cried out in the night. Our tummies hurt so bad. And the cold? Oh, the cold!"
Heart-wrenching at the bleak retelling, Teddy gently touched the girl's arm. His mind shouted in protest when he considered the Sherman family's predicament. They hadn't much occasion to speak while Mary was recuperating, but the innocence of the young woman's explanation of such a sordid topic and her simple speech pattern suggested something that made his blood run cold. A thought drummed its way to the forefront, and Teddy had to know. "How old are you, Mary?" Watery blue eyes shifted away from his gaze, and Teddy cupped the girl's cheek. Her pale skin, flushed with embarrassment, exposed her unease. Drawing her toward a scarred tree trunk, Teddy urged her to sit, and then he joined her on the soft grass. "When I was 8, my mother gave birth to a baby girl," he began. "Her name was Aramiah, and I was so proud to be a big brother. But she was sickly from the start and died shortly before her 2nd Christmas. I would have done anything for her, Mary. Just like I'll do for you. If only you would trust me," he softly admonished. Pursing her lips, Mary pouted momentarily, then opened her mouth to speak. Thinking better of her answer, she quickly snapped her jaw shut and grimaced.
"Mama told Mr. Oates that I was 17, as he was expecting my older sister, Robin. Mama did not want him to know I wasn't who she meant to send."
"And?" the young man prompted.
"Robin is 17. Then comes Rosanna and Lucille. I'm next before Bobby, Nicolette, Polly, and baby Link."
Tedric considered the birth order and tried to reason out the girl's age, but he finally gave up and asked again, "How old are you then?"
"You brought me 12 lemon drops for my birthday. Didn't you bring me 1 for each year?"